My American Dream by Farha Mukri. There they are, my parents, emerging from Terminal 5 of O'Hare International Airport after a 20-minute wait. My father is leading the charge with a cart packed with four large suitcases, closely followed by my mother, lugging along a purse and two carry-on bags. His frame in the brown kurta pajama looks like it has shrunk in the 2 years since I've last seen him. A white beard, curly wisps of peppered hair, and a skull cap over his head. Did he wear the skull cap for the entire journey? Or was he praying just before landing? Or was this some ploy to test if the Western authorities questioned him more than his fellow passengers? My mother walks slowly with drooping shoulders covered in a blue and pink floral salwar kameez with a dupatta wrapped around her face. Her eyes are traveling faster than her feet, scanning every face in the crowd for her NRI daughter. It takes a couple of minutes for me to register that this elderly couple are my Baba and Ma. Baba spots me and his face breaks into a wide grin. Ma follows his gaze and flashes a large but weary smile. They've traveled for 21 hours and 20 minutes to be with me. I wave as if I've just noticed them and swiftly move through the crowds. I can smell the musk on Baba even before I reach him. It is the only scent that he uses, procured from Mecca by relatives who have been there on pilgrimages. As soon as I am within arm's length, he stops the cart and pulls me into an embrace, drawing a disapproving look from the man right behind him, who swerves at the last minute to avoid running his cart into a family reunion. Assalamu alaikum, Baba. I bend my knees to meet Baba's embrace and move my lips in a sorry as I meet the man's glare behind his back. The man's face softens and he raises his hand in an "it's okay" gesture. Ma is growing impatient, having to wait her turn, and grabs me at the slightest release. She moves her hands over my cheeks and kisses them before drawing me into an embrace. I bend my knees even more to level up with her. Her face is more wrinkled than Baba's and bears puffy dark circles under the eyes. They tell me how glad they are that I could take the day off from work, loud enough for everyone around us to hear. I try to gently nudge them to the side, away from the stream of passengers. I inquire about the flight and their first response is about the food. "The chicken biryani was so heavy," Baba complains. "Tasty, but heavy." "I told him to get a vegetarian meal like mine, but when does he listen?" Ma chimes in. "And then he kept burping all the time," she laughs with mock disgust. "Well, what can you do? There is no room to move around and exercise your body, so the food doesn't get digested properly. They cramp so many people in such a small space." He looks at me to back him up. I smile and keep pushing the cart towards the exit, while running through a mental checklist to make sure my one-bedroom apartment is ready for their arrival. Empty the recycle bin with beer cans from the weekend. Check. Stash away the shorts and spaghetti tops in a suitcase. Check. "See, that's why I was telling you to take the lighter vegetarian meal," Maris retorts and holds my arm. "I know they could stand here all day long and dissect this meal, so I try to get things moving." "You both wait here by this exit. I'll bring the car from the parking lot." "But you said you don't have a car," Baba points out. "Oh, I get it," he grins with the smug face of a genius who has sniffed out a big secret. "You wanted to surprise us, didn't you?" "No, Baba, it's a zip car." "A rental car?" I start walking away. "I picked it up near my apartment and will be dropping it off there." "Oh, okay." His lips are still stretched, but he is no longer smiling. "That was such a great dawat," Baba muses next to me in the passenger seat. Yes, his wife made so many dishes: malai chicken, mutton biryani, beef cutlets, then the kheer. I'm so full, Maya agrees from the back seat. Yes, I don't think I can eat tonight, Baba declares. We are returning home from a lunch feast at his friend's son's family home in the suburbs. The son lives there with his wife and three young children, and his younger sister has recently moved in with them. The parents, my father's friend and his wife, are visiting the children and will be returning to India in a week. I have never met the family in Chicago before this. Feels so good to see all three generations under one roof. The house filled with laughter and energy of kids, Baba carries on. I know the path he is heading down, but I try to feign ignorance. I don't consider myself an expert in familial matters, but even I could sense the tension in their house. The son's wife seemed frazzled in the kitchen, multitasking between ensuring that the biryani didn't get burnt and realizing that she had forgotten to make a salad. The son snapped at his kids more than once in the dining room for being so loud and interrupting adult conversations. There were some cold stares going on between the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. No overt aggression, just an eerie silence or pointed comments about how something should be done in the kitchen. And the daughter didn't care to look up from her phone unless it was for snapping pictures of the food. Their life looked exactly like it might have been in Mumbai or Delhi, just airlifted and transported to America and sprawled over a 10,000 square foot lot. They are living the American dream. A nice big house, two cars. Baba starts listing their possessions. And did you see the garden in the back? So much space, Ma speaks. There are many versions of the American dream I want to tell my parents. The one involving a large house with a picket fence and two-car garage is just one of them, just as there are many versions of your daughter. There's a version that prays four times a day and recites the Quran. There's a version that enjoys hanging out with friends, including men, on Saturday nights with cans of beer and board games. There's a version that fasts during the month of Ramadan. There is a version that gets pepperoni on her pizza during the rest of the year. Well, Amir is an engineer at Google and his wife is a doctor. With that kind of background, the sky is the limit, Baba says. Maybe you should consider getting a place like that. Why spend money on rent that fills someone else's pockets? Baba's yearning for putting down roots refuses to be suppressed. Don't put these nonsense ideas in her head. Buying a house will tie her down to one place, Ma speaks up. I'm surprised at this unexpected show of support and look at her in the rearview mirror before the bubble bursts. Let her get married first, and then they can buy a house together, wherever the boy is settled. Who knows, he may already have a place like that. This trip is not about putting me on the express lane to marriage. You both promised me that before coming, I counter. Okay, don't get angry now. Focus on the driving, Ma advises. There is a long silence where both start looking out the window. That shopping center was so big, Ma exclaims a few minutes later. Maybe we can go there for shopping someday. I give a slight nod. Can we talk about your job at least? Didn't you say you were planning to look for a new one? Baba asks. I don't really recall saying that. I'm happy where I work. The people are nice. Pay is decent. I speak of my job as a software engineer at Chicago Tribune. Well, these days youngsters aren't staying in one place for too long, you know. Keep moving every couple of years for growth, as they say. That's not a bad thing. How about applying in one of those big companies that Amazon or Google or Bookface? You mean Facebook, right? I can't help but smile. Like I said, I'm happy where I am. I'm sure those conglomerate giants are not facing any dearth of applicants. Besides, the world needs more of local journalism, not less. I'm not proud of dropping big English words to make a point, especially to my father. But it works. and he nods and looks outside the window again. I try pivoting the topic to something that is on my radar. What I'd like to do this year is finish visiting at least a dozen national parks. I've only been to 10 so far. You know, there are 61 in all of America. They're so beautiful, these vast, serene spaces. I move my left arm in a sweeping motion and turn sideways to face him. "Oh, okay." He stares at the road ahead. "So, what exactly will we do in the jungle?" Baba asks. I let out a laugh before realizing this is not a joke. He seriously wants to know what we will do in Yosemite. Alaska is way beyond my budget, so initially my heart is set on Olympic National Park, given that I have never been there myself. Discovering a new national park for the first time with my parents would have been an unparalleled experience, but it could also mean unforeseen issues. So I decide to settle for something more mainstream and predictable, like Yosemite. "Well, there are waterfalls and lakes and cliffs, these amazing granite formations, and those giant sequoia trees that are hundreds, even 3,000 years old. We can drive around to different parts of the park, and we can take short, easy hikes that won't be too hard on your and Ma's knees." They exchange a look between them like two teenagers who are about to confess something. "Or how about Grand Canyon? It has these gorgeous colored rocks formed over millions of years, and the views are just breathtaking. Or if you want to just stick to cities, we could try something different like New Orleans. Or Washington, D.C. would be nice too, with all the museums and history." I try to tighten my grasp on a situation that's slipping away. They remain silent. "Okay, was there anything in particular that you had in mind? When we spoke over the phone and I asked you about this multiple times, you said we can go wherever I like, that I should go ahead and decide. So if you both want something specific, let's talk about it now." I try to sound calm. Baba clears his throat. "We've heard that Niagara Falls is very beautiful, great views, and there is even a light show at night. And even New York City is supposed to be very good. What is that main street called?" Ma looks towards Baba. "Times Square, yes, Times Square." Baba claps his hands. "You know that Mehta uncle from the fourth floor? He was in US last year to visit his daughter and family. He was showing us the pictures. They were superb." I cannot believe I missed this like a blind spot. Of course, every Indian parent that has ever been to the US has visited Times Square and Niagara Falls. It is almost akin to a pilgrimage. There's a good reason for all the Indian restaurants that have mushroomed around Niagara. I know all this, and yet I feel something that I cannot name. Disappointed? Maybe. Embarrassed? I hope not. Angry? Perhaps a little. I take a deep breath and remind myself that this is their trip. I am only a medium to bring their ideas to fruition. "Sure, let's do that." I try to infuse some excitement in my words. Ma's face breaks into a smile. Baba seems relieved. "Yes, that will be great, if you think it's a good idea." And then I speak the magic words that I know they want to hear. "Maybe we can also take the ferry to the Statue of Liberty." "Oh, okay," Baba grins from ear to ear. Chicago is a deadly city. I remember Baba's first words over the phone when he finds out the location of my job. I explain that not all parts of the city have crime in equal measure. He asks if I have applied for jobs in other cities, and I assure him I've been trying everywhere. I tell him that I can always find a job in a different city and move if I don't like it. The reality is slightly complicated. If I need to switch cities and companies, I need to find a new employer who likes me just as much, if not more, as this one to spend the time and money for a work visa sponsorship. But I try not to get him bogged down with the details and he doesn't press further. 3 years later, I'm still in the city, not by circumstance, but by choice. I love the Midwestern warmth in this big city, which almost feels like several small towns put together. I love the vibrant summers and find ways to get through the frigid winters. I love being in sync with the four seasons, and I love the lake and city's parks and public libraries. I am hitting all the tourist spots with my parents when I remember Baba's first thoughts about this place. If the New York and Niagara trip planning has taught me anything, it is not to deprive my parents of the top things to do list in any city, unless it is a museum. We take the elevators in Willis Tower to the 103rd floor, where they admire the bird's eye view in every direction and reluctantly look down through the glass to Kai Deck. They pose around the bean and insist on a photograph from every angle. They delight in the dolphin show at Shedd Aquarium and marvel at the variety of aquatic life at houses. Ma enjoys window shopping along Mac Mile, followed by scoring discounts at TJ Maxx and Marshall's. I would have liked to give them an insider's city tour, walk through the diverse neighborhoods and sample different cuisines. But I've already tried going down that path and resigned. The pasta is too creamy and the sandwiches are too bland for their taste. The real Chinese food is nowhere near Indo-Chinese, they declare. Mexican food comes close to satisfying their taste buds, but still falls short. The burrito bowls remind them of rajma chawal, the Indian dish of rice and beans. So why not just eat the real deal? The first week of stretching my meager cooking skills and listening to the critique of every cuisine leaves me exhausted, and I slam the brakes on the world food tour. I take them to Devon Avenue, the little India of Chicago, and set them free in Patel Brothers and its neighboring stores. We come back with a trunk loaded with halal meats, Indian fishes, and fresh vegetables like bitter gourd and cluster beans that can't be found in the aisles of a Trader Joe's. I am hungry, but I don't want to open that Pandora's box again. I'd rather check off the final attraction on our bucket list and wait until we get home. This one holds a special place in my heart, despite being a tourist hotspot. The architecture cruise along the Chicago River. I have booked the Golden Art Tour. The guide quotes his namesake, Mark Twain. She's always a novelty, for she's never the Chicago you saw when you passed through the last time. The sun glistens as we make our way between the old and new skyscrapers for 75 minutes. Every building has a story. Every structure is a unique marvel of design and engineering, yet fits seamlessly into the fabric of the city. We watch the under construction, sleek and flowing Vista Tower, the world's tallest building designed by a female architect, standing near the neo-Gothic Tribune Tower with its flying buttresses and ornate arches. Two landmarks as different as chalk and cheese, lending their distinctive beauty to the same riverfront. Baba cranes his neck to see the top of the buildings, while Ma turns to admire the bustling river walk. The setting sun pours blinding hope into the river below. Perhaps someday I will be able to explain my version of the American dream to them. The quiet satisfaction of working for an underdog company. The excitement of exploring the country's breathtaking wilderness. The freedom of renting the right-sized car and right-sized apartment without the need to own it. Just as someday I might be able to comprehend their version of the American trip. The golden hour under the Chicago skyline feels like a place of possibilities. Chicago is beautiful, Baba declares as we step off the boat. I wait for the next sentence. But the New York skyline is better. But there is no place like Mumbai. There is silence. Oh, okay. I smile.